This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. Did you know that there's around 2 billion people in the world who profess Christianity? They follow Jesus Christ. It may not feel like it for you and for me in England, but Christianity is the dominant faith in the world. In particular, the evangelical wing of Christianity, which is what we're part of, is growing rapidly around the world, faster than any other religion. It's nearly 1 billion people would consider themselves evangelical Christians now. The rest are like the Roman Catholics and the Orthodox and other groups. There are more Christians now, for the first time in the history of Christianity, there are more Christians now in the Southern Hemisphere than in the Northern Hemisphere. That's remarkable. Very interesting that it's shifted that way. And we haven't got time, but I'd love to talk to you more about that another time. We are not doing as well as our friends in South America and Africa at telling people about Jesus Christ. In the UK, the Barna Group have done some research over the last couple of years, and they've produced an interesting report. They say that in the UK, 40% of people do not realize Jesus was a real person who actually lived. 40%. That's almost all of you, that side of the room. If you think about your friends, nearly half of your friends don't know that Jesus was a real person who actually lived. We're not doing a brilliant job, are we, of telling people about him? Of the younger age groups, 20-somethings, 18 to 34-year-olds, one in four think Jesus was a mythical or fictional character, like a Disney character. So because of that, a new theme for this year that we're going to be exploring over the course of the year is answering the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Who is this Christ followed by over 2 billion Christians? So I want to talk a bit about that theme. I want to open up the subject of our month of prayer and fasting. I want us to start thinking about who is Jesus. And we're going to finish with a discussion on what we believe. Now, you don't have to take part in that discussion. You don't come to church to get into small groups, I know. But if you'd like to, I just want to pose a few questions and get you thinking a little bit in small groups towards the end. But you can do it on your own. You don't have to talk to the person next to you if you don't like them. Just check what they like, the one next to you. In fact, knowing that's coming up, you might want to move. Okay, that's all right. We're going to be, this year, as part of this thing, we're going to be looking at Mark's Gospel. Now, we're only going to look at one sentence today, so you won't need a Bible to ponder on. But if you don't possess a Bible, I would encourage you to get hold of one. Beryl and Monica at the door, I've got a pile of them. You can just take one, take it with you. If you want to give us some money for it, fine, but don't worry. We'd rather you had it. And what I'd love you to do is take your Bible and read the Gospel of Mark. It's quite a short gospel. It's one of the, by gospel, it's an autobiography, it's a biography about Jesus. It's one of the shorter ones. It's written in quite a snappy style. You could read it in an evening, probably. I'd encourage the house group leaders to go just read it as a house group one night or over a couple of nights and get familiar with that gospel, because we're going to be dipping into it. It's going to be our text for the year. It's mainly Peter, Peter the apostle. It's mainly his memories and his stories about Jesus, which he's told Mark, and Mark's written down. So, you don't need to look it up, because it's a very short sentence. I'll put it up on the screen. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, starts like this. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. There it is. He lays it out right at the beginning. This is what we're talking about. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Let's just turn to prayer for a moment. This is Unity Week, and so we think of the other churches, particularly in our area. St. Michael's down the road, South Parade the other way, St. Chad's up the hill, the Lutheran Church, there's a couple of Roman Catholic churches, we think of Mosaic and Gateway not far away. And we lift them up to you, we thank you for them, and we ask you to bless their times of worship and community together. Tim Bucott, the pastor here, the new pastor that's going to be coming to, in 6 months' time to South Parade, the guys at South St. Columbus who don't have a pastor yet either, we ask you to bless them. And we ask you to be with those of us and them who gather this afternoon for the service of unity this afternoon at 3 o'clock here. We ask you to be with them there, and that in that unity people may see you present. And Lord, we also are aware of our need for peace in uncertain times, having witnessed the inauguration of Donald Trump and all the Brexit stuff and all the stuff that's sort of, it's stirring in our hearts, and we ask for your peace upon us and for your guidance and wisdom to those in power and leadership around us. And I just want to pray particularly for Hannah, who's in hospital. Those of you know her, Hannah Rowland's in hospital. We just lift her up to you right now, and we ask for your healing, for your power to go to her, set her free, and heal her. And we thank you for this community of faith, for these people, for the generous gifts they give each week and each month financially that enables us to do what you've called us to do. We thank you for all of that. And we ask you to be with us now as we listen and try and understand more about who you are and what we believe. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me just talk a little bit about our month of prayer and fasting. We do this a couple of times a year. We don't expect you to go without food for a whole month. You can do that. Jesus did. But fasting is about depriving yourself of something which brings comfort. And in order to focus our thinking, in order to hear God more clearly, in order for us to see with some clarity what's going on in our lives and to commit ourselves to him a bit more. Now, you can fast whatever you like. Some people miss a meal a day or stop drinking alcohol or whatever it is. You choose. You go to the Lord and you say, I want to fast for a month. What are you prompting me in? If you need a prompt, I would like, this is going to be our theme fast. Last time we did this, it was fast your phone. Okay? Don't know how well you did on that, but it certainly stirred up some things for me. But this time, we're going to do something, a development on that, and it's called swap your screen. Swap your screen. That's my invitation to you to take part in this fast for this month. Many times a day, most of us, not everybody is into the digital world, but most of us look at a screen, whether it's a TV or a computer or a smartphone or a tablet or even a watch these days, you know. Those speak to us, don't they, and beep at us. And for some of us, it's the, I could give you the statistics, but a chunk of us wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is we look at our phone, whether it's for the time or the weather or more likely your Facebook feed. Many of us, whilst we're eating, we have the phone beside us or the TV on, and we're not talking to the person we're eating with. We're waiting for that ping or watching what's going on the screen. Or maybe we're traveling to work on the bus, or we're walking between classes in university and we check our phones. We have a quick look. We read the news. We play a game. We get home from work and we put the TV on and watch Match of the Day or a soap opera or something. And maybe when you're in bed and you're about to go to sleep, you have your tablet leaning on your knee and you watch a catch-up on something. Now, you may be catching up on social media, listening to a podcast, you might be checking your emails, watching a box set, playing a game. Whatever you're doing, what you're not doing, what I'm not doing, I'm not pointing the finger here, what we're not doing is we're not engaging with the present. We're not engaging with where we are. We're not engaging with our own body. We're somewhere else, attending to someone or something else than that which is immediately around us. Now, that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But for many of us, we do it too much, don't we? One person's nodding, and the rest of you are lying. We do it too much, don't we? Without restraint. And in so doing, what happens is that we exclude. We don't do this deliberately. We just sort of fall down the slope. We exclude the presence of God from our mind and our body now, where we are now. We're almost in our mind and body, we're almost on the other side of that, and I'm going to turn it off. We're now almost on the other side of that screen. We're over there somewhere rather than here. So what Alison and I call, or what mainly I call, to be perfectly frank, digital diminuendo, a lessening through digital means of the of your presence. So what I want you to do is to pray. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to identify for you a time and a place when you can do a swap, and you can swap your screen, swap that point in the day. It may only be 5 minutes, it may be an hour. Whatever you feel the Lord prompts in you, to swap your screen for time with Him. Just for a month. You don't have to do it as a lifestyle, forbid the thought. Just for a month, once a day, find a time in the day when you can swap your screen for time with Him. And I don't mean swapping that little shiny oblong for just upping your normal devotional time. I'd encourage you to have a daily devotional time anyway. This is extra for the month of prayer and fasting. Turn off the device and ask Him to speak to you. Ask Him to message you. Tell Him about your life and your day. You may find it useful to use the Bible, and I'll be distributing next week some notes which we'll use during the course of the month, and you could use those as a way of directing your thoughts and your prayers in that point of the day when you do the screen swap. Does that make sense? Am I communicating?
Yes.
Great. One of you does, and that's good. You and I can do this together. We're also going to have some engine room meetings. These are times when the church is undergirded by prayer. So on Sunday evenings, there will be an engine room prayer meeting in the offices just across the road. House groups may well dive into some of this material. You may find your growth group or groups doing this. And I'll talk about this a bit more next week, but you might want to resurrect your very small groups, or you may already have very small groups, two or three of you, just to compare notes as you go along. How are you doing on your screen swap? And then on the 26th of February, we're going to set time aside to hear what you've learned and how God has spoken to you over the next month. Okay? Yeah? Okay, right. Right, our theme for this coming year is, Who is Jesus? Interesting, over the last few days, our news has been dominated by accounts of power being transitioned and transferred from one to another by deeply flawed human beings. And it's been interesting to watch that happening, and the fact that we're placing such great affirmation on the fact that we're managing to do it at all. So in Gambia, it took the persuasion of foreign armies and other countries' leaders to persuade Yahya Jammeh to hand over power to his legitimate successor. And as we heard in the news yesterday, he's finally left. And on Thursday, Martin McGuinness stepped down from leadership of Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland, a man who contributed greatly to peace, but is another flawed human being who had high office in our political system. And then, of course, on Friday, we had Donald Trump. Interesting, I don't know if you watched the ceremony, but despite an inauguration ceremony which was wrapped in wonderful words and prayers and blessings and scriptures, mainly Christian, including Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers." He, in his speech, he went on to reveal a core message which, I'm not making a political point here, this is a theological point, he went on to reveal a core message which is the antithesis of those prayers and scriptures. Let me read to you about another leader and the way he leads. This is a poem written about 100 years ago. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to the cross between two thieves. And while dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone. And today, Jesus is the central figure of the human race. He is the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. Amen. So I'm deeply moved by the prospect of examining that life and that life and purpose of that leader, one who lived a perfect, flawless life and whose call to follow fills us not with just a great challenge, but with a great hope too. He shines a light on our brokenness and darkness, but then he sacrifices himself to bring us to redemption. He sees the problems in the world and the troubles in your life, those stresses you're under, the deadlines you're missing, the relationships that are breaking up, the finances that are running out, the health that's crippling you. He sees the troubles in your life, and he draws not on anger or violence, but on grace and on the power of life over death. Who is this Jesus? We're going to be discovering a wonderful man, a God who loves, a Savior with power to rescue and a healer of wounds, who brings wholeness and reconciliation. A leader with authority and legitimacy who steers us into the brightness of a shining new eternal day. And Mark starts with those words, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. When he said, we read those words, we don't really quite get it. The good news often is translated as gospel, the gospel of, that's why they're called gospels. The gospel was like a headline. It was like a viral internet message or the headline on the news at 10. It was like the big announcement. That's what they were called. It was called the gospel. So when a Roman emperor won a war, there would be a gospel in the city. He's won. This is the gospel that Mark is presenting about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And he talks about this Son of God and yet a human, a God and yet a human. And we'll explore that, human yet divine. And some of the extraordinary things that we believe about him, but it's not a myth, it's not fiction, it's real, it's historical, it's geographical. It's alluded to by journalism and historicity of the day. How are we going to cope with this person? And the way we're going to examine it over the course of the year is we're going to look at four different aspects of knowing about Jesus. The first one will be his existence. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus wasn't just a man walking the dusty streets of Palestine 2,000 years ago. He was God existing before time began and will exist forever. And we'll look at what that means. And we'll look at, think of him under the title of encounter. Because although he was God, he came to earth as a man and we encountered him in flesh and blood as part of God's plan of salvation. Men and women, we bleed, and so did Jesus. And then we're going to think about our experience of him today, 2,000 years later. And we're going to hear from many of you who know Jesus and have a relationship with him. And we're going to investigate what that feels like and what that means. And then the final compartment will be our expectation that Jesus is coming back. The New Testament prayer was, "Maranatha, come, Lord, soon." We impatiently wait for him to return and inaugurate a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. Those will be the four things, then: the existence of Jesus, an encounter with Jesus, our experience of Jesus, and our expectation of his return. Okay, so that's the theme. That's the month of prayer and fasting. I want to just finish this morning with thinking about what we believe. And not so much why we believe it, although that's a very good question. Why do you believe what you believe? Do you believe it because your parents told you and you're growing up in it? Do you believe it because you've just been to church all these years? Some of these young people have been in this church for 15 years and we've taught them what they believe. Is that why they believe what they believe? Is it because you read the books? Is it because you've reasoned it out and you rationally argued the case? Is it because you've had an encounter with Jesus, which has blown your doors off, and that's controlling the way you think about life now? Why do you believe what you believe? That's a good question, but we're not going to answer that one. We're going to think about what you believe. Now, in AD 325, what's that one? Nearly 1,700 years ago, Christianity was exploding across the known world. And people were beginning to disagree about what it meant to be a Christian. There was no Bible written down. There was no creeds. And it was going to be a bit of a bun fight. And so the Roman Emperor Constantine, who was a Christian, called together all the bishops of the known Christian world at a place called Nicaea in Turkey, now known as Iznik, I think. And he said to them, we need to know what's right and what's wrong. What's the truth? What do we believe? And they had this big council. And I think it's a really good question. What are the core things in which you believe? What if I said to you, I believe this, and you would say to me, well, that means you're not a Christian. Or what would you say that I believe this, and you'd say, yes, that is an essential part of being a Christian. How do you make that judgment? What is it? If you're a Christian, what do you believe? What are your core beliefs to which you subscribe? Have you ever thought about it? And if you're not a Christian here today, and you're very welcome, do you have any idea what Christians believe? And what they don't believe, and what's really, really important, and what isn't? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask my glamorous assistant, my wife, with some help from others, if one or two of you would like to give her a hand, to hand out a copy of, could I have one? The Nicene Creed. Ooh. The Nicene Creed. I'm going to hand out a copy of the Nicene Creed. That's better. We don't normally... For those of you visitors, we don't normally do this. That's why there should be a bit of a reaction. And you'll see, we're going to read it together. And then I'm going to invite you, if you'd like to, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. Do it on your own or just check your Facebook feed. That's fine. But what I'm going to invite you to do is in your pew groups, work through it over the next 10 minutes or so. And on the piece of paper, you've got down the left-hand side, I've broken out the creed, and in the right-hand side, I've put a little comment, because some of it's using old language, which doesn't make much sense. And then very quickly in your groups, I want you to number down the right-hand side. There should be some pens going around. Are there some pens? Yes. There's some number in the right-hand side, your top three. So if to be a Christian, what are the top three you have to believe? Put them in order of priority. What's number one? What's number two? What's number three? If you've got time, go for four and five. Okay? Do you get the idea? Let's read this together. In fact, just to wake you up, why don't you stand? Because I don't think you can read this sitting down. Please stand. Half of you are listening to me, the other half aren't. Now, I only want you to read this if you believe it, or you think you believe it. But if you believe it, if you're a Christian, and you can, I want you to read. I'm not into manipulating sound, but I want you to. This is significant. These words are meaningful. They carry weight. So I would like you to read it with a degree of enthusiasm. Think of it as you're saying these words to all the people, the 22,000 people that live in Headingley, and you're making a statement of what we believe. It's going to be up on the screen. Are you ready? One, two, three. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen. Oh, there's more. Amen. And then? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I was so overcome. I even put the numbers on the top to make sure I didn't do that. I did. So, you got 10 minutes. No, 7 minutes in your groups to work out your top three. Go.
I don't feel that I need that authority. I think that the relationship is the most important thing. Loving Jesus, following him, all that comes out of his crucifixion and resurrection. That's it.
Okay. Okay. Tanya's already sorted it, so that's all done. She said it's easy. Are you finished? So these guys, these bishops, gathered together and they hammered out, first of all, the Bible, and they established the canon of Scripture, the Gospels, the letters, the Old Testament, and they hammered it out. So that's why we have what we have. That's why there were lots of Gospels at the time, and they excluded all of them apart from the four that are in the Bible. There were lots of letters at the time from Paul and others, and they chose those. And then after they decided on the Scriptures, they then decided, now what do we believe? And from the Scriptures, they established that creed. Okay? So, Very quickly, Tanya's just explained to me that it's very simple. It's about the sacrifice of Jesus and our relationship with him. Is that right? Okay, that's her number one. Anybody else want to share their number one? Pardon? Can you read it out? Okay. The Holy Spirit, the giver of life. God, the giver of life as the Holy Spirit. That's your number one. Anybody else? Say it again, Claire. The Trinity. Emphasizing the Trinity. Is that important for you? Okay. So what's your number one? Okay. Somebody else at the back? I can't hear. One God. Okay. Somebody else on this side. Were you doing it on this side? The creator of the universe. Okay. There's a scientist speaking. Number six, the only Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God.
We had 6 plus 11 equals 20.
Anybody else? You're number one. Sally. What's your number one? The Bible. Okay. Somebody else? Last one, quickly. What is it? Tell me. So the crucifixion, the cross of Christ, that's the cross on which Christ died is your number one. Okay. Okay, interesting, hey? Interesting. Yeah. Hey, okay, it's just an exercise, don't... I was going to explain what mine are, my top five are, but we've run out of time. So we're going to pray instead, and you're all right. We're going to pray instead, and I want to pick up on what Mike said earlier on. I sense that the Lord wants to bring his peace in troubled times, and it could be trouble because of the political shenanigans going on. It could be something very specific in your life. A relationship is struggling. Maybe you're worried about a deadline tomorrow. Maybe you just find yourself not fulfilled. Maybe you're in financial trouble. Maybe you're in pain and there's something wrong physically. And there are troubles in your life and you'd love to know the presence of Jesus. We'd be talking about this person, Jesus, and what he did for us. And you would love to know him. I said that we're going to talk about people's experience of him. And you're thinking, I've not experienced him. And you'd love to know that experience of his presence, that relationship that brings peace. Yeah? I think the Lord wants to minister to you. So would you like to stand again? And we'll just ask the Holy Spirit to come. In fact, we don't often do it like this, but I'd love to pray for you specifically a response to that. Your cry for his peace and his presence to come and to know Jesus better. If you want to know Jesus better, if you want his peace, and this could be all of you, I'd love you to come down to the front. This is crazy. We shouldn't do this. But come down now if you'd like to know him better, if you'd like his peace in your life. And we're going to just, by you coming, you're making a statement and he's going to respond to that. It's one of those things. Why wouldn't you, to be honest? Go right to the corner. The front is not that important. It's just that you're here and that you're making that step. Go right to the corners, all the way down. If you're not coming forward and you're a member of a growth group, I'm going to need some help. Come on, quickly. Let's go. We're running out of time. The children are waiting. Keep coming. There's some space here as well, right in front of Phil. Come on, okay. Fill that gap there. Fill that gap there. Come on. Isn't it wonderful that we can go to the God who created the universe and Jesus who died for us and the presence of his Holy Spirit, and we can know him today, and he can answer this prayer for peace and his prayer for his presence? Now, let's ask him to do that. Why don't you put your hands out expectant that he's going to come? You're telling your body the same thing as you're thinking. Now, Holy Spirit, you said if we asked, you would come. So we ask you to come. Let him come. Let him come. Let him come. Let him come. More of your Spirit, Lord. I bless what you're doing. That's it. Let him come. Come with your peace, Lord. Let your peace fall on us heavily. For those who've got troubled hearts and minds, may they sense your peace right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, more. Let him come. That's it. Let him come more. Let him come know me. It's the presence of God. More. Let him come, Jake. It's the presence of God on you. Receive his peace. Receive his peace. Receive his peace. If you're a regular part of the church, do come forward and pick somebody to pray for. Bless what the Lord is doing. Speak prophetically over them. Speak words of knowledge. Say, yes, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. We're going to keep the kids waiting a little bit longer, so just relax. Let him come. Let him come, Harold. Let him come. That's it. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Bless what he's doing. You have to push your way through, guys. We can't get to you all, but the Holy Spirit does. I bless what you're doing, Lord, more. Let him come. More. Spirit of the Lord's on you, Andy and Anna. Let him come. That's it. If you're not familiar with what we're doing here, I'm trying not to manipulate. I'm trying to encourage people to be open to the Spirit of God because he wants to do this. And the people who come forward are just hungry for him, for his presence. They want to know this Jesus. They want to be filled with his Holy Spirit and for his peace to flood their lives and to deal with the troubles and the distractions and the pain. So we bless his presence. I bless what you're doing, God. More. More. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, you can stay here as long as you like. And if you'd like somebody particularly to pray for you, then just hang around at the front here. But we do need to go and get the children. So if you've got children, fight your way through. But let people stay in the place of prayer if that's where they are. If you're near the corridor, you might need to create a space. I bless what you're doing, Lord. I bless what you're doing. Ganita, can you put your hand on the lady in front of you? And let him come. That's it. I sense the Lord saying to you, that lady. I sense the Lord saying to you that that there's a question in your mind. This may be completely wrong, but I think there's a question and an uncertainty in your mind, and it's a dark place, and he wants to shine a light on it. And that's why you're here today. So I bless. Let him come. Let him come. Shine your light, Lord. Shine your light. I need those of you who are regulars to come and pray. There's more people here. You know who you are. Please come and forward. And there's lots of people on this side. This lady here. We're going to carry on praying, but we've come to a sort of as formal an ending as we're going to get. So thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. See you next week.